Hello and welcome to Naxos Classical Spotlight and a brief introduction to the symphonies of Ludwig van Beethoven. That was the beginning of his Symphony No. 1, first performed in Vienna in the year 1800. It was not Beethoven's first composition by any means, but it was his first symphony, the first of nine. Over the course of these nine symphonies, Beethoven changed people's ideas of what a symphony should or could be. Soon after the first performance of his Symphony No. 1, Beethoven went to work on his next one, Symphony No. 2 in D major. Symphony No. 2 is longer, with much more of the drama and contrast that we find in so much of his later music. The symphony was also composed at a time in Beethoven's life when his deafness became much more apparent, a development that would torment him for the rest of his life. Here is how his Symphony No. 2 begins. That was the beginning of Beethoven's Symphony No. 2. His Symphony No. 3 was first performed in 1805 with Beethoven himself conducting. Beethoven had wanted to dedicate the symphony to Napoleon, but when Napoleon declared himself emperor, Beethoven scratched out that dedication, realizing that Napoleon was just another tyrant. The third movement of this symphony is a scherzo. The word scherzo is derived from the Italian word scherzare, or joke. It's often lighter in character, though in Beethoven's hands it's full of drama and sudden changes in loudness. Here's how that third movement starts. Thank you. Beethoven composed his Fourth Symphony in 1806. The first performance at the private home of a wealthy patron was in 1807, followed by the first public performance in 1808. Although pop culture often focuses on the drama and wild man image of Beethoven, he was also a wonderful lyrical composer, a quality that shines in some of his piano sonatas or in some of his string quartets, for example, the so-called harp quartet, or in the slow movement of his Symphony No. 4, which begins this way. Beethoven's Fifth Symphony is one of the most famous classical music compositions of all time. He wrote it between 1804 and 1808, at a time when his deafness was becoming more and more profound. His deafness notwithstanding, this symphony was first played in December of 1808 at a huge concert in Theater an der Wien, with Beethoven conducting his 5th and 6th symphonies, and with Beethoven as piano soloist in his 4th piano concerto and the choral fantasy. The concert lasted more than 4 hours and was all Beethoven. Although the first concert was apparently poorly prepared and didn't go well, the greatness of this symphony was quickly recognized. In 1842, Beethoven's 5th symphony crossed the Atlantic Ocean and was the opening number on the very first program by the New York Philharmonic. Here is how this most famous of symphonies begins. Beethoven composed his 5th and 6th symphonies at roughly the same time. Both were premiered at the same concert in 1808, however, they are very, very different pieces of music. While the 5th was full of musical drama, the 6th symphony reflects Beethoven's love of nature. Being in the country is where he found solace, and perhaps some respite from the trials of his private life. In this 6th symphony, Beethoven even provided descriptive titles for each movement. The Awakenings of Cheerful Feelings on Arrival in the Countryside, or Seen by a Brook, or Merry Gathering of Country Folk, or Thunder and Storm, and finally, Shepherd's Song. Here, then, is the Merry Gathering of Country Folk, and if you've ever watched the first Fantasia movie, this music will be very familiar. Thank you. That was from Beethoven's Symphony No. 6. A few years after finishing the 5th and 6th symphonies, Beethoven set to work in 1811 on the 7th symphony, and a year later it was done. Once again, Beethoven conducted the first performance, this time at a charity concert for wounded soldiers in Vienna. The symphony was an instant hit. In fact, Beethoven himself thought it was one of his best pieces, and who am I to argue? The energy of this symphony is breathtaking, especially this final movement, which, when well played, is one wild orchestral ride. Almost as soon as he finished his 7th symphony, Beethoven started writing his 8th symphony, which he completed in just 4 months, starting in the summer of 1812. Sandwiched between his high-energy 7th and the giant 9th symphony, the 8th symphony seemed to some critics to be kind of lightweight. However, the French composer Hector Berlioz, who is one of Beethoven's greatest champions and who conducted Beethoven's music all over Europe, wrote this about the 8th symphony, about the second movement. The Andante Scherzando is one of those creations for which there is neither model nor counterpart. It drops from heaven complete into the composer's imagination. He writes it at a single stretch, and we are amazed to hear it. This has a gentle innocence which is delightful in its nonchalant manner, like the song of two children picking flowers in a field on a fine spring morning. You have been listening to a brief introduction to Beethoven's 9 symphonies, certainly one of the great achievements of classical music history. This podcast is the briefest of introductions. Every one of these symphonies is a world worth exploring. All these recordings feature the Nicholas Esterházy Sinfonia conducted by Bela Drahos, and they're all included in a giant box set that's just been released by Naxos. 90 albums with over 100 hours of Beethoven's music. The catalog number for that box is 8.500250. By the time Beethoven wrote his 9th symphony, he was completely deaf. So in a sense, this is music that comes directly from his imagination. A music critic for the Theaterzeitung who attended the first performance wrote, "The public received the musical hero with the utmost respect and sympathy. Listened to his wonderful, gigantic creation with the most absorbed attention and broke out in jubilant applause, often during sections and repeatedly at the end of them. The audience acclaimed him through standing ovations 5 times. There were handkerchiefs in the air, hats, and raised hands so that Beethoven, who could not hear the applause, could at least see the ovations." I'm Raymond Bechet. So long for now.